This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I never realized how much you actually need your pinky finger limits until it's injured.
All five, very important.
All five. In order, what are their importance, do you think? Because I have, I don't know what it is, an injured right pinky finger, which sounds like, you know, gut through it. And I am gutting through it. I mean, Jack Lambert's career ended on turf toe. He had an injured toe. What are you going to do? If your toe's injured, it's injured. My pinky's injured. So I have it on ice right now from golf. But in order, importance of your fingers is what limits?
I think your pointer finger is probably number one.
Yeah.
Followed by your thumb.
Yes.
But, I mean, those could be interchangeable.
The thumb, I feel like, is underrated. Yeah.
Thumb, very important.
He's a glue guy. Isn't he on the team? Yeah.
And then I feel like
the middle finger can be very useful at times.
Yes, probably the middle finger.
And
don't show it to us all at once.
He's the center, too. You throw him the ball down on the post, he scores for you, right?
The middle finger creates balance on your hand.
Right.
It's the one right in the middle.
Yeah.
The glue guy centers your team.
Yeah.
Make sure that everything is solid. And then, I would think maybe the pinky is probably next.
So do I. And I never thought that till now. It anchors everything. I'm trying to type here and then shaking hands. You wouldn't believe it. It's the one finger that really gets affected when you shake a guy's hand. And I was out at a golf course yesterday, Willowbrook Country Club out in Apollo. Wonderful place. My friend Neil is out there. What a nice man he is.
Hello, Neil.
And but some of his friends had very firm handshakes at the end of the round, and it hurt, I'll tell you that much. And now trying to type with the ice pack on is impossible.
Every time that Doran shakes my hand,
very firm.
I think my hand could break, yeah.
So I never knew. Who knew? Guess what we're going to do today, Limits? Needless to say, Bob isn't here. How are you?
No, but Bob will be back on Monday.
You sure about that?
Yes, I am sure about that. Bob said that.
Okay. Very good.
And I saw something else that indicated Bob will be there because you guys will be somewhere other than here on Monday, a very special remote.
What?
That you clearly didn't know about.
Are you going to tell me in the audience? Are you going to let us? Is that not yet?
No, it's finalized. We also have a
promo. Where are we going to be?
The Fill the Boot broadcast will be on Monday. It'll be at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union.
Beautiful.
In Wexford.
The last time we were there, Bob Walk came over and visited, and we had a wiffle ball game.
That's awesome. Does not look like your friend Limits was invited to go to this, but...
You never are.
No.
We need somebody running the show back here.
Well, we also... there's been discussions about being the on-site producer there.
Really?
Yeah. So,
now, when Oakmont comes along, there's some special plans.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be able to go there?
That's what I'm going to say. I got to make sure I'm trained with the special equipment before that so that I'm able to go to that with you guys.
The
special equipment. I'm hoping.
I slept in today, Limits. I slept in until 8:30.
I slept in almost until 8:30.
I don't know what happened. Usually, I never set an alarm in my house because I'm woken up by the natural sounds of the household. My daughter being late for school, which is still early for me. So she's up. My wife is up. The dog's up. I don't need an alarm. Today, nobody's up. The dog's sleeping downstairs. The kid not feeling well, not at school today. And my wife, for some reason, sleeping in. So I wake up and it's 8:30. I'm like, what has happened here?
And you were in a panic.
A little bit of a panic.
Were you in a sweat?
No, not quite the sweat phase, but a little bit of a panic. But I had already planned a lot of the show. You and I are going to do a spelling bee today. Are you excited about that?
As excited as I can be, yes. I'm excited.
Did you see the ESPN? Is it on ESPN, the kid who won the spelling bee?
It was on ION.
ION, okay. Yeah. That kid was great. So you and I, later in the show, are going to have sports names to spell. I'll throw one at you. You throw one at me. I'll give you an example. This is how it's going to work. This man is a pretty famous Penguin because he scored one of the most famous goals in Penguins history in a multiple overtime game to beat the Washington Capitals. His name, oh dear limits, and this is just a dry run, is Peter Nedved. Spell it. First and last name.
P.
Very, very good. The P, yeah.
T.
R. Very good.
Now, and Nedved is where it gets difficult because I think there's a Y thrown in there.
You may think that, yeah.
N-Y-D-V-E-D.
If you took out the Y, you would have scored points there.
No Y.
Yeah, no Y.
I always wonder, the why? So them, the true question of journalism, why?
So them are the rules. First and last name of a Pirate, Penguin, and Steeler, plus an at-large person from sports history.
We are guaranteed to look like idiots at the end of this.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, for example.
Yeah,
somebody
but we're,
like that.
We're going to look up like the most outrageous names.
Paul Bissonnette. Oh, he was a Penguin, though.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. No, it has to be someone somewhat known, and you can't make it total. You got one of them at least has to be somewhat spellable.
I already have the one for you that's like a random player that you should remember.
Yeah.
But we're going to see if you're able to spell this guy's name. Because this is one of my favorite spellings of a player's name in any sport.
I like that. Let's, and I have some great ones that you're never going to get. And I'm going to win.
The text line saying that the thumb is the number one finger.
I agree with that. Yeah. The thumb would be number one, for sure. Let's talk trade, shall we? Nothing titillates, and I, you know, the word is very interesting, isn't it? Nothing titillates a fan base or media like trade talk. People like us, we love it, and for good reason. It's fun. And that's what sports is supposed to be, fun. So, yeah, this isn't 60 Minutes. We don't necessarily traffic in hardcore journalism here. We traffic in the toy store of sports. So rumor and speculation is fun to talk about. The way I always pictured this show, and I think what we've achieved and what the ratings would tell us we've achieved, is we're sitting at a bar, Limits. You and I. Perhaps Hemingway's in Oakland.
I've been there.
Yeah. Does that, they're tearing down things left and right. Does that still exist?
It does. Well, the first and only time I went there, I think you'll find this funny, was for dinner with Nick Faribault about 2 years ago.
What?
We went to Hemingway's.
Or we could be at Peter's Pub,
yes,
by the way.
Is that still around?
I don't know. I don't know if anything in Oakland is still around. Everybody's invited in. I mean, everybody's on equal footing anyway these days, right? I don't think that media has a large like advantage in information on people the way it used to be.
Joe, Peter's,
we all read, we all watch, we all like, we all talk about trades. What?
Peter's Pub closed in 2018. So you have not been in Oakland in quite some time.
Let's reopen it as Malzie's Pub, shall we?
I would love that.
And everybody's invited in, and everybody, I always said that Twitter, you know, the good and bad of social media when it first came out. And I remember one of the first big events on Twitter, although it had already been out for a little while, was the Jerry Meals play. And it's when it first dawned on me that this is just a giant press box. Like, if you had sat in a press box in, you know, 1997 Limits, you had access to things and you heard things and you said things. It's basically a bunch of cracks, jokes in the press box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having fun with the game, that got expanded to the whole world. Twitter is a giant press box in which we all watch games and make comments on the games. And I think that's the fun part of social media. I do. It's one giant press box. And that's what we're trying to achieve on the show. So when it comes to trade talk, well, let's talk. There's tons of things going on right now and in the recent past with trades. So let's talk a little turkey, shall we?
Well, let's do it.
The Jonnu Smith thing. What do we make of this? Adam Schefter reporting, what exactly did he report?
Yeah, it was kind of odd, the wordage that Schefter used. So
is wordage a word?
Verbiage would be a better word.
Yeah.
Schefter, the Dolphins have had trade discussions with the Pittsburgh Steelers about their lone Pro Bowl selection last season, tight end Jonnu Smith. Those talks came after Smith expressed interest in reworking his deal that is scheduled to pay him $4.5 million this year, or $4.8 million. With Smith seeking a new contract, Miami has sought a trade partner. Last year, Smith set the franchise record for a tight end in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. But Smith's preference is to stay in Miami under a reworked deal.
Oh, really? So, his preference is to catch 88 balls with Mike McDaniel instead of going back to Artie?
Yeah,
there's a big surprise there. What?
Yeah, and Tua over insert quarterback here for the Steelers.
What do you make of this?
I think that this is either the Dolphins or Jonnu Smith's representatives going to Schefter and saying, hey, put this out there that we're talking about a potential trade. We don't think it's actually going to happen, but we at least want to apply a little bit of heat into the kitchen about getting this deal done. That's what I make of this. Like, I'm sure the Steelers have asked and they've inquired.
Well, isn't that the story then? If the Steelers actually have asked and inquired about Jonnu Smith, then that to me is the story. I don't care about the reasoning. That tells me again that they're, you know, on the trail for a new weapon. And I've heard people say they already have a tight end or two. Who cares? It's positionless. It's like the NBA. The NFL is becoming positionless. I don't care if they have eight tight ends. You line them up and they run pass patterns. It's like a secondary, you know, which makes sense because they're the guys covering these guys. It's positionless. I don't care what he's a pass catcher. That's his position. I'd love to get Jonnu Smith.
I would too. And we're told that
he said years where he's caught a lot of touchdowns. Do I think he would flourish here like he did under McDaniel? No. Is he a good player? Yes. I think they should get another good player. And I think that you know, on third and eight, does it really make any difference who you split out to run a pass pattern? Not to me if they can catch the ball.
No, they can line him up like a wide receiver. And we keep hearing the broken record phrase that Arthur Smith loves two tight ends. Well, does he? I mean, does his offense really cater to that? They didn't try it last year with two tight ends. Darnell Washington, other than catching the first touchdown of the year, was flat out invisible. They used Michael Pruitt at times just to block.
I mean, I also hear that tight ends flourish under Arthur Smith. Then why was Kyle Pitts a borderline
bust?
Right.
I drafted him on my fantasy team like twice. He was awful in terms of fantasy production.
I'm not saying anything would work really well under Arthur Smith. I'm saying the idea of bringing in Jonnu Smith makes sense to me if you want another weapon. And I do. I want another weapon.
This is going to become like the Smith family, the Adams family move over for Arthur Smith and Jonnu Smith.
It doesn't sound like this is all that realistic, however, does it?
No, especially with Smith's preference to stay in Miami under a reworked deal. It sounds like it's going to eventually work out, but the Steelers are just kind of the middleman helping them work it out. Kind of like Ayuk with the 49ers. Hey, I want a new contract. Oh, well, we might trade you. Well, I think I'm going to stay with this deal. Okay.
Everybody using the Steelers these days. Yes? All right, you give me a trade question. Could be anything. We also have TJ Watt trade talk. We have Penguins offseason trade talks. We have Pirate. I'll give you one before you give me one. Who's the first Pirate, significant Pirate, to be traded this season?
That's a good question. It's the question that I was going to throw towards you.
Well, why don't we
Let's do it together. If you would have asked me this a year ago, I would not have said this guy, but I've somewhat softened on it just because of seeing what they have in their system. Mitch Keller.
Mm.
I like Keller a lot. Like, I would love to see Keller continue to pitch here for a while. But knowing that Chandler is coming up, Oviedo, if he ever returns, I think can still be a good arm for them. And they've done a good job of being able to find left-handed free agents seemingly every year. Tyler Anderson, Quintana, and now Andrew Heaney. Keller is somebody who I think can probably get you two bats. And that is clearly what you need right now.
Wait a second. Two bats?
Well,
like everyday bats?
Probably one, like, guy that can actually play, and then another bat that's like a IKF type of player.
And where would you put this player? I'm asking you, where do you think the Pirates would put him? I mean, Canario is actually playing well. It's not that I wouldn't want to replace him with a better player. I would. I'm with you there. But do you think they do?
Canario might be playing well now, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be the answer long-term, especially if you get somebody that's more talented. I would probably get a left fielder and a shortstop.
You know what I'd get? A third baseman.
For Key Brian Hayes.
Here's my Pirate trade. I don't have specific names coming back, more of an idea like you do. Keller, and you attach Key Brian Hayes to that, and you bring back a really good bat. Getting rid of Key Brian Hayes gets rid of all that salary and gets rid of a player who just is so frustrating to watch. And really, for that position, doesn't come close to delivering the offensive impact needed. And, you know, the Pirates are in love with defense. I get it. But to me, they don't equal out. I understand that a run saved is equal to a run scored. But as I always say, when people defend playing Triolo a lot based on his defense, like how many times in a game is he going to get the opportunity to make a play that most other players wouldn't make? Maybe once. And he is a really good defender. Don't get me wrong. Maybe once will he get a chance to save a run limits. Do you agree with that in a game?
Yeah, I'd say so. But I mean,
how many times is he going to get a chance to change a game offensively if he starts?
Devil's advocate.
Four.
How many times have we seen the Pirates play their offense just be so putrid where that one run is what matters? And if Key Brian Hayes can make a huge play at the hot corner and prevent a run, they can win a 2-1 game, a 4-3 game. He's done it before.
So you're defending the idea of keeping Key Brian Hayes on the off chance he makes a really good play in a game and saves a run because their offense stinks? Why does their offense stink?
I'm playing devil's advocate for Key Brian Hayes because his defense is just so good. He's a gold glove, platinum glove type of player that I would prefer to bat ninth in the order, but there's so many other holes, he has to bat higher up in the order.
I would prefer not to bat at all in the order.
Would you DH Key Brian Hayes and have the pitcher hit?
What?
Like, you know how you can DH for the pitcher? Would you DH or Key Brian Hayes and have the pitcher
If I could pinch it every time for him, I would. See, that's my whole point. I understand what you're saying, but you're undermining your own argument by saying, hey, since the offense stinks so badly, each one of those runs saved is so valuable. But I would backtrack to before your statement and say, why does the offense stink so badly? Whether it's Hayes, Triolo, or anyone else, you have the opportunity more times per game if you start a game to impact it offensively than you ever will defensively. I do agree. It's obvious a run saved is as good as a run scored or driven in, but they don't balance out in terms of how much opportunity you're going to have to impact the game either way. You can impact it way more offensively than you can defensively.
Yeah.
Look at O'Neill Cruz. He mostly has stunk in center field. Or at least he's had a lot of gaffes. He's gotten a little better, I'll say that. But I don't care. Give me the offense. The guy might be, he might be the seventh 40-40 guy ever. He's on pace for 36 homers and like 53 steals. So do I care if he makes a lame-brained defensive play once in a while? No. To me, that doesn't even come close to undermining his offensive success.
Let me throw this question at you. Let's say, hypothetically, Key Brian Hayes was on the 2013 to 2015 Pirates at third base and that Pedro was playing at first. That was a deep order that could drive in runs. And Key Brian Hayes batted
if you
ninth.
Have the luxury to employ a Jared Triolo and a Key Brian Hayes on the same roster, wonderful, because the rest of your team can hit.
Well, Triolo,
they don't.
Couldn't hit a beach ball if you put it on a tee for him right now.
What are you saying about Key Brian Hayes?
You're saying you
think he's a valuable member of the team, that you wouldn't trade him?
That is what I'm saying, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because I think his defense is valuable. He can't hit.
It is valuable.
Look,
he's a great defender.
Look, he can't hit. He cannot hit.
End of story. He's your third baseman.
What I'm saying is if you could bat him ninth and him be able to hit 240, 250, I'll take it because I like the defense.
All right.
Something similar to what they did with Jordy Mercer. Jordy Mercer couldn't really hit that well, but he was really good defensively at short, and they hit him late in the lineup. So I would, if the lineup was different, I think it would be a completely different conversation. But
well,
since
I'm trying to make the lineup
so bad,
I'm trying to make the lineup different by trading Mitch Keller, and I'm attaching Hayes and that contract to it. Listen, if he was just bad offensively, it might work. He's horrific offensively. But
yeah.
People may agree with you. 412-928-9370. Is that a wish or a prediction that Mitch Keller will be the first Pirate traded, significant Pirate traded this season?
This season?
Yeah, that was the question.
I think that would probably be in
the off-season. I'm repeating the question. Oh, my God, Limits. The question was...
You were not clear on the question.
I was as clear as day. Who will be the first pirate, significant pirate traded that this season?
You didn't add this season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever, regardless.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I'll still stick with Keller, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a question for me on trades, Limits?
I do, Joe.
Now that this has gone completely off the rails?
Yes. Erik Karlsson.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the Penguins would be able to trade him and actually get a return back, or how much of the contract would they have to eat to be able to move him?
The return back in a lot of these deals, including attaching Key Brian Hayes to a trade, is that you don't have to pay the guy the money anymore, and that money turns into other players that you're free to go out and get. That's the return. If somebody would take Erik Karlsson, you know, if Ottawa would take him back, I would drive him there if I were the Penguins. That's the return. I don't care what the return would be for Erik Karlsson. Just please, this isn't working. Give me a nice draft pick, whatever. But just get rid of the money so you can move on. And I also don't think that he's the best guy for a new coach to have around. I really don't. And do I think he's movable? Yes, I do. I think he played great in the Four Nations. And I think while he's very overrated as a power play guy, in the right system, that he can help somebody. This ain't it. And this is not the place. So I think he's very movable. But you probably would have to pick up part of his salary.
Yeah.
In which case, you'd have about eight different teams paying Erik Karlsson to create chances for the opponent. But, yeah, I think he's very tradable, and I think it should be right at the top of Kyle Dubas's priority list.
Well, he's tradable if he wants to be traded, unfortunately. I mean, you got to find a way for him to waive that no-trade clause.
I know. It's amazing.
Why he was stuck.
Does anybody out there agree with Limits on Key Brian Hayes? Now I'm very curious about this. At 412-928-9370, like, do you find his value defensively compensates for the bat? And do you want him around here for a long time, or would you jump at the chance to trade him? 928-9370. Now I've become very curious about this. Limits?
Texter, Limits, are you drunk? Hayes stinks and has a lousy, lazy attitude. Joe, you're right. Hayes has to go.
I don't know. I don't know about the attitude. I'm not around there. I don't care. I mean, I would if it was bad, but I don't know that it is. You know, I don't know. I've seen plenty of guys either loafing around or not executing. You know, Adam Frazier comes to mind, a simple sacrifice bunt. You know, I think there's a fine line between, well, is this guy trying? I mean, obviously Adam Frazier is trying, but not to be able to execute a simple play like that. I didn't hear a ton of criticism for that. Like I do, you know, Cruz gets shredded all the time for things, you know, execute simple plays. But yes, I would trade Key Brian Hayes in a second. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Trade talk is the currency of the day. And as I mentioned, it's speculation, it's rumor, it's sports, it's fun. And a lot of it is real, by the way. I mean, the Chicago Bears did call about Mike Tomlin. And that's where I'll go with the next question. Me to you, dear Limits. Should the Steelers have traded Mike Tomlin to the Bears? And what are you laughing at in there?
I'm laughing at a text. That take was like a wet fart limits. Just to throw it right, just to put everything full circle. Only one person agrees with me on the text line. But one person says, I don't necessarily agree with limits. I love that everybody texts in and uses limits and not my actual name. Nor do I agree with Joe's outrage in reaction to limits. Somebody else says, though, Hayes's chronic back issues, can't even bat 240. Limits, are you nuts?
I like that.
But I think
Well, this is what sports talk is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not outraged like I am about, you know, world events and things, but it's sports talk. We're sitting at the bar limits.
There are two
texters. Would you like a beer? You don't even drink beer, do you?
No, I'm more
Would you like a Crown Royal?
My dad loves Crown Royal.
Does he?
I'm more of a captain type
My dad
of guy.
Loved whiskey sours. Every night he'd read a book, smoke a cigarette, and drink a whiskey sour.
My friend John Ziegler loves whiskey sours.
And not talk to
sours.
Anybody. What?
My friend John Ziegler loves whiskey sours.
The former NHL commissioner?
No. A good friend of mine and a fellow captain in Baldwin Wiffle Ball, actually.
Oh, it always comes back to Baldwin Wiffle
Ball. It always does.
What are they saying? What are they saying out there?
One texter says, I actually really agree with limits because he's a very valuable piece on a more talented offensive team. The defense absolutely plays. Another key Brian Hayes defender says, hang on to Hayes. His glove is worth its weight in gold, and he's shown more flashes this year than all of last year combined. I don't know about that last part. But somebody else says, limits sucks.
That also brings it full circle. And why is my computer's dead?
Limits, you're nuts.
Hold
Hayes
on,
is
limits.
Singles hitter at best.
Limits, talk to people for a second. I can't do this segment without a working computer.
Okay. Another texter says, in a vacuum, I keep Hayes for his defense, but because of the hip and back problems, he isn't on the field enough or at the plate, so he's not saving runs either. I understand that point. I mean, he has been banged up at times. There have been occasions where you've not been able to get that defense well enough on the field because Key Brian Hayes, one, just is not getting a good enough torque with his swing, where he was doing the one-handed swing. This year, he's tried the two-handed swing. It's been a little bit different. Another texter says, there are no limits to how bad your takes are.
I'm amazed the old one-handed swing didn't work for him. I really thought it would.
Wow, multiple texters taking shots at my takes.
Yeah. Well, come on, you're defending Key Brian Hayes.
Yeah, that one could probably...
The guy makes Jared Triolo look makes Jared Triolo look like Brooks Robinson.
There's no defending Jared Triolo. You won't find me out here
like Mike Schmidt. Now listen, people are right though. Key Brian Hayes is an unbelievable defender. So on the right team, yes, but this is the wrong team. This team is desperate for offense in spite of, you know, the past couple of games. Just desperate, dying for offense. May I ask you the next question in our list here, Limits?
Please.
I feel like the segment after an extremely slow start has picked up momentum. Would you agree?
Limits, you sound like you started your weekend early with those Captain and Cokes. Another texter, Limits, schmuck. Hayes' defense overrated and defense not worth the injury headache, considering his bat is awful.
Let me ask you a question, Limits, or more specifically, the person who called in and said that Hayes is what? How do you phrase it compared to last year?
Is worse.
Way better, showing much more positive signs than last year.
I can't even find it. The text line is blowing up right now.
His OPS last year, that's batting and slugging and on base combined, was .573. Would you take a gander as to what it is this year? Limits
.604.
Wrong. .571.
Oh, boy.
It's worse. His slugging last year. Last year, he went months at a time without an extra base hit. His slugging last year was .290. Would you care to take a gander at what his slugging is this year?
.291.
.283. So please don't tell me that this guy is that. And the same thing happens when I'm watching the game. Oh, he just missed that one. He just misses a lot of ones. I have never seen a player ever, and I've been watching Pirate Baseball since the early 70s,
top the ball
more than Hayes.
Texter, there is no limit to the amount of ground balls Hayes hits that stops on the infield grass.
Exactly. That guy has it. I mean, it is incredible. It's incredible.
Our Texters are firing on all cylinders. They are firing up on a Friday. I love it.
All right. My next question for you. It's documented that the Chicago Bears wanted to trade for Mike Tomlin. Damian Woody, I believe, on ESPN recently, or maybe it was Ryan Clark has said this too, would still think about that if this year goes south. And goodness knows it's off to a wonderful start here as they wait desperately for Aaron Rodgers to call their name. If this year goes south, which is to say they're not competitive in a playoff game again, would you trade Tomlin, Limits, and would you have traded him to the Bears?
I would have at least listened to what the Bears had to have said. I mean, considering they did not even listen to, like, if the Bears said, here you go, 2 first-round picks for Mike Tomlin, I'd be like, all right, where do I sign?
Yes.
I would definitely consider trading Mike Tomlin.
Art the second treated the Bears like a telemarketer. Like
spam, like just, spam risk on your on your call. You don't even answer. You hit your the side just, button and just decline.
Now, Dulac said, I doubt this ever even got to Art.
No.
Who answered the phone?
Probably Omar. I'm sure that type of call would go to Omar before Art, and then Omar would run it up the chain.
So Omar would take a call where somebody wanted to trade for the head coach and wouldn't tell Art? How does that not get to Art?
Well, I'm sure maybe this was the case. Like, maybe they were talking about, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they were talking about other things. Like, the GM just called, hey, so what do you think about a Mike Tomlin deal? And then Omar said, hi, yeah, no, not happening. Ryan Poles, not a chance. So he probably didn't even think it was relevant enough to bring it up to Art. Maybe in, like, a joking mood.
You are in rare form today. You actually think if there was a hint of seriousness to another organization saying we'd like to trade for Mike Tomlin, that Omar keeps that to himself?
No, I'm sure he tells Art.
Okay,
but I'm sure he probably
that's all I'm saying.
He probably laughs it off. Like,
maybe.
These guys really think that they could trade for Mike. I mean, come on, what are we doing here? But I'm sure him and Art had a competing conversation.
In a playoff game for 10 straight years is what we're doing here.
I don't think it was like a real formal conversation that he probably had with Art saying, like, Art, do you think this is actually something we should do? Art saying, no. Okay, and that being it, it was probably like in a joking matter when they discussed it. Like, they really think they could trade for our head coach. What do you think of that, Art? Yeah, not buying it. Not going to happen.
I'm flabbergasted. Yeah? I actually love this. I love your takes today, but I am flabbergasted, if that's still a word. Isn't that what Ron said when Ben said he might retire when he came on the show? There was silence. Do we still have that, Limits? Ponies folder,
no,
or maybe old horse.
It probably would have expired by now.
They sent the old horse out to the glue factory, didn't they? Mm. I wonder if he listens on a daily basis. It's got to be in there when Ben said something about retirement and Ron said, I'm flabbergasted. Your turn, Limits. And by the way, of course I would have traded Tomlin to the Bears. As much for Tomlin's sake as the Steelers, it would have been Mike Sullivan, really good coach, who is in a place where it doesn't work anymore, where they haven't come close to winning a playoff game in 10 years, where over the last 4 years, they're 38-32-1 with a minus 80 point differential. It's just it's living in a world of high-end mediocrity where nobody for a long time has considered them even a remote Super Bowl contender, and nobody does this year either. It just doesn't work. He would have been a hero, hailed as an incoming hero in Chicago, and would have brought a 620, 630 career winning percentage. It would have been a fresh start for him. Like Mike Sullivan, he could have named his price, could have redone his contract, all these things. And the Steelers would have been one step closer to something that's more important than a head coach in every market, in every place, in every NFL city, in all of NFL history. And that's the quarterback, a franchise quarterback. So, yes, they should have done it. And if things go south again this year, it should be again, or for once, at the top of the priority list. You're laughing again. What happened?
Because the text line is batting 1,000 today. Limits, I know you get emotional watching shows. Do you cry every time Key Brian Hayes bats?
I can picture the whole Limits family under a blanket on the couch after some quality time in the rock box, crying at the next Key Brian Hayes.
While I wait for the next eclipse with my welding mask to look at.
The whole family weeping as Key Brian Hayes tops another ball 3 feet in front of home plate.
The early onset Malzy disorder is in full effect today, Limits. Another texter, Limits takes a call from a Cleveland radio station wanting a trade for Joe Starkey and laughs and hangs up. No need to tell Joe or the boss about this one, Brett the mailman says. Texter, Limits is a mess this morning.
You really are, Limits. I thought I came in as a mess because I slept in. My pinky hurts. I don't feel well. I thought I was a mess today, but you've gone off the rails.
Texter, send Key Brian Hayes to play Big Brother instead of Limits. Oh,
you have gone off the rails completely, which I love. So why don't we talk more trade next? I know you have a question for me.
I've got
one for you to ponder. We're talking trade today in light of the Jonnu Smith rumors.
I didn't think the Brian Hayes take was that bad.
Nothing. It's Key Brian Hayes. It's that bad. You don't think the entire population of Western Pennsylvania watches him top balls in front of the pitcher and then jog to first? I mean, everybody sees it multiple times.
His hitting is just so bad, but his defense is a gold glove level defender.
It's amazing.
Let's not undersell how good he is defensively.
I never would. He's amazing defensively. One of the best defensive infielders I've ever seen. He is.
Tim texts in, multiple lines made it on the air from the text line today. Good sport, Limits. We all enjoy you. I hope they enjoy everybody. The self-loathing that's been going on today with me taking so many shots at myself from the text line today.
I love that.
You have to laugh at yourself.
Yes.
And my horrendous take, apparently.
Yeah, two of them. Don't sell yourself
short. What was the other one?
That Omar Khan would take a call from a team wanting to trade for Mike Tomlin and keep it to himself and not tell Art.
No, I said he'd tell Art.
No, the whole premise of that was that Dulac said that it probably never got to Art. I threw it to you, and you agreed with that.
No, I said that he would talk to Art, but it would be like a joke. Like, hey, Art.
You amended that at the end after I questioned
it. Well, guess what? The Constitution came out first, and then they had all these amendments. So you're allowed to make an amendment from the initial, Bill of Rights or whatever. Here's the last text. Where would Key Brian Hayes bat in your Baldwin wiffle ball lineup? Ninth? Eighth or ninth?
Oh, my God. So here's one to ponder, Limits. A little Brian Rust, Ricard Raquel.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Trade talk on the table this morning. Nothing titillates quite like trade talk. This whole Paul Skeens thing that erupted in the last 2 weeks. Why don't I throw that one back at you? This is all precipitated by the Jonnu Smith rumors report from Adam Schefter that the Steelers have at least inquired about the Dolphins tight end, a former Arthur Smith guy in Tennessee and Atlanta. Apparently Artie is really high on this guy from one Smitty to another. Right, Limits?
That's right. The Smith family.
Limits is taking all kinds of heat for his horrible takes in the first segment, and he's taking it well. So we're swapping trade questions. Listen, the Skeens thing basically took over sports talk and everything else over the past couple of weeks with Jeff Passan and Ken Rosenthal addressing that, and now Jim Bowden over at The Athletic looking at different packages. And obviously, it's a topic. Because it's the Pirates, for all the reasons we all know. They're not going to pay him when that time comes, very likely. He's going to be a $500 million player, very likely. And they have shortcomings, to put it mildly, offensively. And the package, for example, that Washington got for Juan Soto, I mean, if that were to come true for the Pirates, you'd be crazy at least not to think about it. It's kind of like the Tomlin thing. Like, you have to listen. I mean, if I told you they were going to trade Skeens tomorrow and were guaranteed to get a guy like James Wood for the Nationals, a 6'7 slugger who is pounding the ball this year, might be an all-star. A starting shortstop who makes an all-star team already early in his career, and a guy who would lead the league in strikeouts per nine like Mackenzie Gore is doing. Obviously, you think about that. My preference is to continue to watch Paul Skeens and try to build around him. Because I think when you have that piece along with other starting pitching, you are by definition not that far away. That's my preference, but I'm listening on anything. You, Limits?
I'll listen. I don't know how open I am to, you know, the idea of it, but I would definitely listen to what people have to say. I think you have to listen.
When do you become open to the idea of it, knowing you're not going to sign him anyway?
If somebody absolutely blows me away with an offer that I never expected.
When? I mean, two years from now? Or?
Yeah, 2 years from now. I'm not ready to give Skeens up just for the effect that I think it would probably be the worst PR nightmare in the history of this franchise, and that included trading Andrew McCutchen. You know, like, if Skeens were to go now after, what, a year of debuting May 11th last year, he plays 1 year in Pittsburgh, that would be a very difficult pill to swallow. And I just truly do not believe that you'd be able to get the maximum value for him right now unless somebody completely blows your socks off that you never expected.
I was with you right till then. This would be the time you would get maximum value.
Bless you.
Thank you.
You sneezed on the mic.
You would never get more value than right now. Ever for him. And I wouldn't do it either. I want to watch the guy pitch. And it doesn't take that much to get into the playoffs. I mean, last year they were in the conversation in mid-August. They're not that far because it's not that hard to be in a 7-team playoff race. You know what I mean?
Right, but can you really get the most value right now? I mean, considering what the Nationals got for Soto with just two years and considering some of the other deals that have been made, like,
wait a second.
5 years of control for Paul Skeens.
That's why you get the most value for him.
Yeah, that's why if it's not above a Soto type return in terms of the prospect capital you're getting back, I don't do it.
Our six pack brought to you by Bet365, fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. If you have a trade topic question for me, Limits, please proceed.
Joe, it's going to be a huge question once camp begins. The status of TJ Watt's contract and what ultimately happens. He wants a new deal. He's probably going to want Myles Garrett money, if not more. Would you, if conversations get a little bit dicey, consider trading TJ Watt as he's in his 30s?
Yes. And I would have already done it, though. That's the thing. Because then you, although they did sort of accent their draft with an interesting pick there with Sawyer, and they have Herbig and they have Highsmith. But here's the thing. You know my take on this. I think that the Steelers should have positioned the organization to take a step back this season, and maybe they still will, even if they bring in Aaron Rodgers. I'm not paying TJ Watt that kind of money into his 30s. I'm just not. This hasn't worked as far as team-wise. Having a great, all-time great player like that, they've been unable to build around him to the point where they've won anything of significance in TJ Watt's entire career. I think you get to the point where it's going to be diminishing returns on him. And more to the point, we just talked about Skeens, this might be the last time you would be able to trade TJ Watt. This is like, you know, Malkin in 2019 or so. Like, all right, if you're going to keep him, cool. But if you want to get that kind of value coming back, like a gigantic package coming back, this would be the only time you'd get it. I'm not saying you're guaranteed it anyway, but if you were ever going to get it, it would have to be this offseason. To me, it would make sense, and the return could help you get what you really need, which is a franchise quarterback.
What do you think that they could get back for TJ Watt? I think it was Steve Palazzolo, correct me if I'm wrong, that said that he thinks they'd only get about a second-round pick back for Watt.
He's crazy. That's what I would say to
that.
Yeah,
with the PM guys.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
I could list for you a half dozen teams that are a TJ Watt away from a Super Bowl that would absolutely give up a free. Let me go back here.
Like the Lions, I think, should easily give up a first round pick for Watt if they wanted him.
Especially I would
with
say so.
Hutchinson coming off of his injury.
Yeah. I mean, we all remember the Khalil Mack trade. I don't know that involved teams that were close to the Super Bowl, but that brought back. Well, here's the Von Miller trade. Now, Von Miller, even in 2022, was, you know, starting to fade. So what did the Broncos traded Miller to the Rams? What did they get here for second and third round picks? I think TJ Watt, I mean, Von Miller was not a defensive player of the year candidate in 2022. TJ Watt still is.
Right. Like you're not going to get the Khalil Mack trade.
If you got a second and third, you're going to get a first round pick for TJ Watt.
I think so. Like the Khalil Mack trade, you're not going to get that, which he was 27. The Raiders got.
How old is Watt?
Two first round picks and
30.
I'm just going to check to make sure when his birthday
was. I wouldn't rule that out. I wouldn't rule that out at all.
Yeah, he's 30. He'll turn 31 during the season.
Teams get very, very desperate when they get close to his. All right, Limits. Do we have one more trade question or are we done?
No, we could throw one more trade question out there. Would you, Joe, consider trading to the highest bidder, Tristan Jarry or Ryan Graves?
Listen, anything I could do to get rid of those contracts, you do. Those are attached guys. Like, you know, I'll trade you Brian Rust, who I would consider. If I'm the Penguins, I consider trading anyone and everyone except Sidney Crosby. And I hope we're not afraid to ask that question, Limits. Maybe that's the biggest
Sidney
one
Crosby?
Of all.
I'm not touching that one.
Why not?
You're not trading Sidney Crosby.
Well, here's the way I would phrase the question. Should Sidney Crosby want to be traded?
Given what we know about Sidney Crosby, no. Because his mentality, what he wants to be that quote-unquote one helmet type of guy, just like Mario was. If I'm Sidney Crosby, I don't want to give that up. Because I know my legacy is cemented here as a top five player of all time.
Wouldn't your legacy be cemented here if you went to Colorado and chased a cup anyway?
Yeah, but what? He's not Raymond Bourque. He hasn't won and was traded at the very end and won
but
it. Like, Sid won his cups.
But wouldn't his legacy be cemented here no matter what he did?
Yes, it would. So you think that he should do something like Brady and basically, or at least the idea is out there, to leave and then prove, like, I am still incredible.
Yeah, I would think about it. But you're right. Sidney Crosby should be able to do whatever he wants to do. That's number one. If he wants to be traded, then you work with him and try to get him to a place where he can go win. I don't think he does want to be traded. I do think that the legacy thing is important to him.
Very.
But, man, if this gets worse and you have another long season and hockey seasons are endless, I can tell you I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't blame him. Well, maybe that's the best way to phrase the question. Would you blame Sidney Crosby if he wanted to go to Colorado or somewhere?
No.
Me neither.
I wouldn't blame him.
Not at all.
I just don't think that's the person that Sid is. You know, we're talking about statue,
you're implying,
one of the best of all time.
You're implying that there would be something wrong with that. When you say that's not the person that Sid is, you're implying there that there would be something questionable about asking to get out of Pittsburgh.
No, what I'm saying is I think Sid is just a very loyal person. He's loyal to the organization.
Asking for a trade at this point, would you then question his loyalty?
No, I just think that he is a Penguin lifer, just like Mario was, and wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And I don't think there's even a thought in his mind of wanting to be anywhere else.
If he did want to be somewhere else after, let's say, another year if it gets even worse, you wouldn't blame him.
Again, I would not blame him, no.
Okay.
I just don't think that it's in him where that is going to be something that actually does happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. But man, things can change with losing. Losing takes a toll.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.